Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Dr. Jane Haney, Commissioner of Food and Drugs at the Food and Drug Administration. In the second segment, let's talk about the review process. Each year, the FDA certifies about 1,000 new medical products for marketing after a careful review of research data submitted in the manufacturer's application. How do you manage the review process?
Well, the review process differs a bit depending upon the product that you're talking about. In the area of drugs, the number is actually about in the range of 60 to 70 every year. And we actually do a couple of things. One, we first give a determination as to, is this a product that's going to be used for a serious and life-threatening disease, or is it the first product in its category? And if those things are the case, we put the drug on a fast track for review. All other drugs are then given a very reasonable review, but we do have priority setting that occurs when we are looking at our review process. We also make sure that every product that we're reviewing meets a very high standard. We're not totally working by the clock here. We're working by a priority system against a high standard. And then we expect to meet a performance standard that's actually outlined in our Prescription Drug User Fee Act. We are now down to about 6 months for the review of a drug that's going to meet the needs for a serious and life-threatening disease, and about 12 months on average for those other drugs. All of them, though, to be approved must meet the same high standard. In the device area, where hundreds of things are reviewed, we clearly review them, and our level of scrutiny to each of those products is really by risk. Those products that may pose a higher risk for a patient, like implantable devices, something you're going to walk around inside of you for a long time. You want to make sure that it is very well tested, that the clinical data is very solid, that it meets a very high standard for safety. And that might be different than that tongue blade or a variation on a tongue blade that may need some scrutiny, but certainly not at the level of review. So we review, we categorize in the device area by risk, and then we do our reviews based on the amount of clinical data that we might need. Again, every device that gets reviewed, however, must have our stamp for safety and effectiveness. We've also, in the device area, looked at others outside the agency that we could have oversight of, but they could actually be trained and learn to do the review. So we are using what's known as a third-party review, where we've identified different groups that are capable of looking, using our standards of review, doing it on our behalf, but we continue to monitor what they do to make sure that the agency's work is done in a correct way. In the biologics area, it's done in much the same manner that I described for drugs. There again is a priority setting. Drugs that are for serious and life-threatening diseases, biologics in that area, be they gene therapy or otherwise, any biological product, are given the fast-track review. Again, they must meet the high standard. In the foods area, those aren't really medical products, but we do have reviews that go on in the foods area for food additives. And again, there's a priority setting done by the agency. And in that way, we can concentrate our efforts and our time with those products that may pose the most risk or are the most needed, and therefore gauge our urgency of review and our intensity of scrutiny of the review.
How do you balance the competing needs of the speed and the accuracy in making and doing the reviews?
Well, the accuracy is first and foremost. because all products that enter the marketplace must meet our gold standard of review for safety and efficacy, and that has not changed. We have found, however, that with the additional resources that we were provided under the Prescription Drug User Fee Act some years ago, we were able to hire more reviewers and more scientists. And in that way, by having greater resources available to us in terms of people power, we can get our work done in a more timely way. So we have also gained speed, but we have never dropped our standard for what the review must be in order to get an approval.
Well, speaking of people, what type of training is available to the scientists who review these products? I mean, how do you keep them up to date?
Well, there are a couple of different things that I think it might be interesting for your audience to know. We hire reviewers from some of the best and most prestigious universities and training programs in this country, from Harvard, from University of Washington, from Michigan. I mean, we have people that are being recruited into the agency that are very smart. They're very bright. They are very strong in their clinical areas or in their scientific disciplines. But what they will do at the agency as they look at the review of a new product is different than anything that they have been trained in. So at the agency, we run staff colleges in terms of what it takes to do an actual review. So we have formal training programs that go on. In fact, our training program that's in our Center on Drugs Evaluation and Research was just the recipient of the Deming Award. We won the first place in government for our training program. I was very proud of the group. And so we do a very formalized process of training individuals in the review process and keeping them up to date in terms of new regs that may be coming along that will impact on the review process. In terms of their professional or their own disciplinary training, we try to provide what we can in that regard because it's important that our reviewers and our other people who impact on decision making in the agency are really at the top of their game in terms of their professional discipline. If there is an area where I think we need to do more, it's in that area. We need to provide opportunities for our people to attend their professional meetings, to give papers, to be seen as true colleagues with folks in academia or in other federal scientific agencies so that we can hold our own. Because after all, what we are doing is sitting in judgment of some of the finest scientific work that is done in this country. And to be a judge, you not only have to know the field, you have to understand it and make correct assessments as to whether this science, this new product, is now ready for the marketplace. It is a job that requires a lot of knowledge. It requires a lot of wisdom, and so we need to be investing in that ongoing professional development of our folks.
How do you address turnover amongst the reviewers?
Well, actually, recruitment for us has not been too much of a problem. Retention is an issue because people come in, they are given and provided and expected to do something that takes a unique body of knowledge, and with that knowledge, then they become prime targets for recruitment. Particularly by the regulated industry and certainly by academia. And so the retention issue is a real challenge for us. In many ways, we can't compete oftentimes with the salary structure that is out there for our reviewers that become well-versed in what they do. We certainly do have the appeal of a unique kind of job, a different kind of impact on the public health, and we try to also provide career ladders so that people can move and advance within the agency.
It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.